light be moment.
The light be moment.
This is 2:9:25. This is from one of the visitations of the Lord that I was listening to, and I come across that, and it just, bam, went off in me. The light be moment. Light be, it said, the most powerful words ever spoken. Light be. And it will be the most powerful words that you ever speak in your life. Jesus told Peter this. Let's go to Matthew 16. Starting with 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and some Jeremiah, one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." What's he talking about here? He's talking about waiting for the light be moment. He's talking about whenever God gives you the light be moment, the word to speak, the Spirit's hovering over your situation. And he gives you the word to speak, bam, it'll unlock. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. Think about that. Now, I know I'm criticizing Word of Faith people because I was one. But all this, I bind you and I bind that and I lose this and I lose that and all this crap. It has done nothing. It is nothing. It's empty, idle words. It's just like Charles Capps talked about. I guess it was Charles Capps. Polly want a cracker. Polly want a cracker? Just mimicking. Mimicking a rote. Works of the flesh. Okay. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, he had a light be moment. He said you would too. Let's go look there. We're not going to read the whole chapter, just a few verses here. Mark 11, 22. We know he cursed the fig tree, and the next day Peter noticed that it was dried up from the roots. And Jesus commented on it when Peter said something to him about it, because Jesus didn't look back. He knew. He had a light be moment. He knew whatever that he waited on and got the word for and spoke, it happened. He didn't have to look back. He already knew. Because it wasn't him doing it. He said it was the Father in him doing it. All right. 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Well, belief comes from the heart. That's where you're going to get that rhema. That's where you're going to get that light be moment. Not in somebody's book that you read to try to get an answer. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them." This is a light be moment. The Spirit of God was hovering. We're going to go look at that. If we would be quiet and pray about things before we start blabbing it and trying to grab it from our own works, we might be surprised what had happened. Genesis 1. First four verses. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." So I guess it was a mess, wasn't it? "The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." In other words, he was thinking and brooding over the situation. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Light be moment. Okay. Was it just for him? No, right here. Verse 26 through 28. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So man's supposed to be dominating, in control. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created in him, male and female created he them. And God blessed him, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and that ain't from having babies. Replenish the earth and subdue it. No, it was by light be. They were to create by light be moments. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, or the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So we're made just like God to let the Holy Spirit hover over our situation and wait upon him to give us the word to speak. And when you do that, you will see, it may be a day or two, but you may even see instant. I've had a couple occasions where I spoke over a situation. One of them happened the next day. I'd been praying about it for 3 weeks in the Spirit. And I kept saying, what do you say about this, Holy Spirit? What do you say about this problem? I said, how am I going to fix this problem? Oh, I guess I better get out Brother Hagin's, you know, God's medicine. Well, you know what? I'm going to stay up all night and just confess. You know, I'm going to do all these things to try to get my answer. I'm just going to wear myself out till I'm passed out on the floor. Or you could pray in the Spirit and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you say about this? You're hovering over this situation, and you've got the plan, and you've got the word, so you tell me what it is. And I'll pray in the Spirit until I have that day star. We'll look at that scripture in a minute. Peter said, till the day star dawn in your heart. And when it comes up, you know it, because peace. Man, you talk about peace, the most unshakable peace that you'd ever have in your life. Like an umpire. Safe. That's the way it is. Exactly. Peace makes the call. All right. Let's keep going here. This is the way we're made. We're going against the grain to do it the other way. That's the way of the God of this world. Why are we wasting so much time on just doing stupid stuff that are not doing anything? I'd rather say nothing. I'd rather say nothing about anything until I've had time to get before the God and let the Holy Spirit hover over my situation and then speak to me, speak this, or do this, or go here, or go there, or take that, or don't take that. This is as simple as it can get. Okay. Churchy people with churchy ways, but no visible power. They must go to the world system to get help. Isn't that the saddest thing you've ever seen? After the sacrifice that Jesus made, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, took away our sins, gave us the Holy Ghost, and the church ain't got enough power to even help somebody that's sick, not have to go to the witch doctors. Now, I'll qualify that later. It's kind of like whatever he says to you, do it. If he tells you to go to a system of the world, you're still in the Spirit. That doesn't mean the systems of the world are all bad. It just means let him lead you there. Don't you do it on your own. All right? Because when you do stuff on your own, that's when you get in trouble. But when God leads you to do it, there's grace there, you know. All right. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Like I said, it don't get any simpler than this, y'all. We just have to break that religious, well, it's not any different than a Catholic praying the rosary or a monk chanting his little chant things. They're all on the same plane. We can criticize them, But we're over here mimicking, I'm a Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of this one, I'm of that one. No, you're of God. All right, 3:13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Right here, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We're talking about of the Spirit here. We're not talking about all these fleshly things we do. You'd be amazed how many works people that God has called to do things and to get out here, and they just start doing a bunch of works. Just a bunch of religious works. Verse 19 there to 21. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. If you'll wait long enough to get the light be over your situation, vain imaginations. There's a little scripture, Matthew 6:7 here. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when you pray, use not vain reputations as the heathen do. For they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. Isn't that how we thought? Well, if you just say it enough, it'll come to pass. Is it the truth? It is the truth. Too bad I'm not out at a certain big old Word of Faith church today. Thank God. Who?
A certain person told me for a certain situation, speak at 50, 60, 70.
Oh, I heard it. I was there that day. I heard those.
They told you what?
Speak it.
Okay, let's get back to what I'm doing here. Sounds like Word of Faith people to me. Yeah, I just say it 100 times a day. Wasn't it Brother Copeland talking about something he said 500 times and he never got anything? You're never going to get anything, but maybe be hoarse.
I set out to say something about myself a million times one time.
Do you see why he's the fixer, why he's the helper? He's here to help us do what Jesus did for us and gave us, appropriated into our lives, not by fleshly means. If we could have done it, why would they have just abolished the law? It was just a bunch of outside rules and regulations that they did. All right. Taking the walk of the Spirit and trying to perform it by works of the flesh are vain. This is an inside operation and not an outside operation. Father showed us how to do it from the get-go and showed his man how to do it too. Nothing has changed. It is not in any of the systems of the world unless the Holy Spirit directs you there. Or any of... even churchy things. It's not in any of that unless the Holy Spirit directs you there. This is Romans chapter 8. It pretty well tells you, this whole chapter is talking about walking in the Spirit. That the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. They're not led by dogmas. They're not led by all the commercials that come on TV telling us we ought to be doing this and that. It's not what it's about. Right here. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. I can see why. You never feel condemned. Oh, I missed it. If you're walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's giving you your answers, and you will never go wrong. You'll never fail. You want a fail-proof life? Follow the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Those are those light be moments. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Even the Haganites, Copelandites, if they're doing it in the flesh, that cannot please God. I'm not saying anything about these teachers. I think a lot of them, we learned a lot from a lot of these teachers. And I'm sure they had a revelation about it, but we thought we'd just do what they did. You can't do what somebody else did. You take what they say and let the Holy Spirit speak to you about what they say. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, this is an inside thing. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. The fixer! You got a problem and you take it to him. Okay, Holy Spirit, what do you say about my condition? If you want to just drop in to see what your condition is in, there's the man you go to, the Holy Spirit himself. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. I've known people, I've given out hundreds of God's medicine that have died. They said it over and over and over and over and over, but it was just a work of the flesh. It didn't get in here. You take those books and they have scriptures in them. Those scriptures get in here. And when that scripture, that renewing of the mind process starts, then yeah, the Holy Spirit connects with them and they can get well. But just to say it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What's that? That's a renewing of the mind. How do you mortify the deeds of the body? By your renewing of your mind. You change your mind for the better. And that's by the Holy Spirit. You think differently. I'm not even the same person I was 11 years ago. I'm not even the same person I was 2 years ago. That's because of the renewing of the mind. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what the earth is in anticipation of right this moment. That's what these apostolic teams are being raised up for. We're about to see the manifestation of the sons of God. Finally, an inside walk, not an outside dogma. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty, the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is where you're waiting in that process of this light be moment. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So when you do it that way, you can use that scripture. People take that out of context. Well, you know, all things work to good. Well, God let me get run over by a car, and it just taught me so much. Yeah, right. It taught you not to run in front of a car. I have heard that. I was at a garage sale one time. I heard this lady talking. It was her sister. She's talking about, this is her third time the cancer's come back. But she has learned so much. God has taught her so much through this. And I went up to the lady. I said, I had a God's medicine. I said, would you give this to your sister? And I said, I'd like you to know that God doesn't put sickness on his children to teach them anything. I said, would you let her know that for me? I mean, it's sad. It's so sad to see how people are suffering. Because they don't know. They didn't anybody teach them. They go to a church. I don't know what they do. I know there's the nail place I go to, there's a little lady there. A couple of them are Presbyterian, and one of them's Catholic. And they go, you know, Lynn, get their little ashes on their head, you know. All that bull. Every Easter, no. Good Catholics. Good for what? I'll leave that alone. Second Peter. It's just dogmas with no power. Second Peter 1. Starting with 19 there. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. These were not men's ideas. The Scriptures are the Word of God, and they are not open to any private interpretation. Okay, let's see here. Last May the Lord gave me this. Last May the Holy Spirit said to me that he was going to teach me to recover myself and to help recover others. When I sought the Lord and had a manifestation of healing come, if I was using any size outside aids, he always told me to lay those down. If the Holy Ghost said use aids, then it would be the instruction of the Holy Spirit. If he told you, well, maybe you're not in your faith where you need to be, he might tell you to do that. So don't try it like here, especially coming off drugs or anything like that. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Don't do it yourself. Okay, did you get what I said? Let me read that again. Well, okay. Whenever I had these couple of times that the Lord healed me, one time I didn't even know it. I was just in the Word so much, I just realized I didn't have to have my medication anymore. The next time I was using natural aids and stuff to try to get well. I've been using them for about a month. And I decided I've had enough of this, so I went before the Holy Spirit, and I had a light be moment. Peace came up in me, and the Lord said, now you're going to have to lay those aids down. Those natural things you're doing. I said, fine. I was healed. Didn't have any more problems. All right. But if he tells you to go, it's not any different. If he tells you to go to the bank and do something, or he goes to tell you any other institution, I'm talking, we live in this world. We operate in this world. And the Holy Spirit at times might tell us, well, go so-and-so and buy your refrigerator. Or go here and buy your car. He'll tell you how to do everything. Okay. Let me see where I left off here. The main thing is the mixture. When you're trying to do fleshly things to get a spiritual answer, that's mixture. It's not going to work. I've always said God doesn't use medicine. He doesn't need it. He sent His Son. But sometimes people that have been using it all their life, or they've been, you know, in that area, as they're coming off, God will say, okay, until you get to the place you need to be. It's kind of like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. He didn't take them the 11-day journey. He took them the long way around because they weren't ready. Yeah, the blessings were before them, but they were not ready, which proved when only two made it in of that bunch, plus Moses. Okay. So, because we can't be so hard and dogmatic that, you know, people won't be able to do it. You have to meet them where they're at and say, okay, you know, the Holy Spirit may say, well, you go ahead and keep taking that and just wean off of it, or whatever the case may be. But you got to hear from the Holy Spirit about it. Don't be so hard on yourself and think you have to fix yourself. We come back to the word before, the fixer. We think we got to fix everything. We're supposed to act this way and look this way and do this and do that. Well, who says? What has God told you to do? That's kind of like with the eating, what Paul was dealing with, with Peter. You know, and here's people that don't, it's like they can't walk where you walk because they're weak. He's weak. He only eats herbs, but don't condemn him. You know, give him enough time to mature enough to come out. Okay? So it's not something to make people feel condemned. All right. God is not going to work with flesh. That's why He doesn't use medicine. He doesn't need it. He's spirit. And what He did was a spirit work. It was an inside job. Now people in the flesh, if they aren't in this place spiritually, yeah, they might need it. Does that make sense? All right, 2 Timothy. The point is, you need to quit moving out independently of God. And if He doesn't say anything, don't do anything. But if He says something, do what He says. All right, I didn't put what chapter here. Well, I guess I'll find one that has. All right, it's 2. 2 Timothy 2. And And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God preadventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. See, that's what I believe what the Lord was saying to me. I'm going to teach you how to recover yourself, and then you can help others recover themselves. 1 Corinthians 15. This is verse 50 here. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. We go over to Isaiah 40. It's perfect for this scenario, even though it's an Old Testament scripture. Even in the Old Covenant, the prophets waited before the Lord to hear the word of the Lord for the people. No apostles back then. This is 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's why you go in your closet, your Father who sees in secret. He hears and he answers. One time we gave a car away, and the person we gave the car to, he said, that Matthew 6 really works, doesn't it? Because he had gone into his closet and asked the Lord to intervene. They needed a vehicle. They were in pretty bad shape. And that's exactly how it happened. I said, yeah, it works. All right, we got to take our seat and keep our seat. 1 Corinthians 3. I just read that to you, so I don't need to read that again. I guess I copied it again. I did. Okay. To successfully do this, we must not speak idle words. We want results, and the only results we see are by rhema words. From Strong's, the word idle means unemployment. No power behind it. Jesus cursing the fig tree had employment. It had power behind it. It brought overnight results. Well, we're familiar with unemployed and employed. Okay. I'm sorry to say that most of the decades we spent in the Word of Faith were idle and empty. Not because of the faith teachers, but because we operated in the flesh and were on most accounts just speaking idle, non-working words. We saw a few results, hits and misses, but mainly misses. James 3:2 says, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Offend here means to trip, to err, to sin. In other words, to miss the mark. If you're going to offend anyone, if you're not going to offend anyone, we'll be walking in the Spirit, for from within it all begins, not the other way around. Doesn't start with an outside walk. It starts with an inside walk. You're born again inside. You must be born again. Jesus talked to Nicodemus about it, and he couldn't understand, how can I enter again into my mother's womb? He's talking about being born of the Spirit. Now I'm going to read some scriptures here, and we'll be done. Matthew 12, 27. Or 12:37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That's a good one. When he gives you a word, it's his word. It ain't going to pass away. Take it to the bank. John 6, 63. This is a really good one. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So Jesus didn't have any non-working words in his life. John 12. And one of them named Caiaphas, 12:49-50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting, whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. He didn't just do Father's works. He spoke Father's words. Not all words. John 14:10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. John 15:1-7. I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, it shall be done unto you. I feel so bad for all the people that have stood in faith and thought they were in faith and they really were just in works of the flesh. Many have died. John 17:8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Okay, a couple, three more here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 17 and 18. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made non-effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the... But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no mind. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Dead words equal dead works. All right, 1 James, and we're James 1. We'll be done. That could have been 1 James, I guess. Yeah. All right, 2 through 8. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, this is that light beam moment here. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he should receive anything in the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All right, that's going to do it. I think, just a minute. No, I've got something else. There is a light beam moment for you right here. Hebrews 10. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Isn't it time for the Holy Spirit to do all your heavy lifting? Aren't you tired of struggling? God's grace is power and ability to help you do what you cannot do yourself. Right? All the answers you need are inside, not outside. Unless the Lord leads you outside, we've already qualified that. Let the Holy Spirit hover over your situation, and soon you will give He will give you your light beam moment. Amen.